Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dalgetty Bay, and welcome to the first show of 2017. I'm delighted to welcome to Edutalk Angela Gardner, who is the producer of Inform Scotland. And over the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be talking about learning and skills across the landscape, the hottest topics in 2016, and what's on the horizon for 2017. So, welcome to Edutalk, Angela.
Thank you.
To start off with, could you just give us a background to your career to date and a wee bit about what you do just now?
Okay, thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be first on the show for the year. So I started producing Inform Scotland in 4 years ago, in May 2012. My background is in industry. I started out as a research technologist for BP in Grangemouth. And during that time, I was active in volunteering, working with local schools and in encouraging girls into science and technology. There weren't very many of us then, and unfortunately, it seems there's still not very many females working in that sector. As you'll see from the hottest topics list, that gender and STEM are still big issues. STEM as in science, technology, engineering and maths, but more on that later. I moved into corporate communications within BP in Scotland, and I was responsible for BP's work with education. And that involved working with schools, universities, colleges, the government, producing resources, working with teachers on secondment. It was quite a broad programme that BP had. And when I left there, I set up my own public affairs consultancy, still working in that same interface between education and business, really. So I've been freelancing as public affairs, specialising in learning and skills and business engagement in education for about 20 years. Inform Scotland came about, I've been producing briefings on Scottish learning and skills for a client for about 4 years. And when that project came to an end, there appeared to be a gap in the information provision for something that looked not just at one sector, so not just looking at what's happening in schools or universities, but something that looked right across the landscape for business, schools, early years, colleges, universities, adult community learning, and set that in the context of what's the political and the economic climate, what are the drivers, what are the shortages, and so on. And that's where Inform Scotland sits, and been producing that, as I say, now since May 2012.
That's great. Thanks, Angela. And this is a live show, so if you have a question or comment on anything that you hear during this evening's broadcast, then you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk. But Angela, you have a couple of questions to pose to listeners at this point, just before we start to talk about your hottest topics chart from last year.
Yes, I mean, it's pretty, nothing very exciting questions, but really just wondering what other people found were their hottest topics. So what were their highlights in 2016 in learning and skills in Scotland? What were there any surprises, big disappointments? And then what are their predictions or their feelings about what will be on the horizon in 2017? Any particular hopes or expectations for the year ahead?
So you recently you published the hottest topics chart around learning and skills. So can you tell us how the chart actually came about, and then give us a flavour of the relative positions and whether they're up or down on the previous year?
Yeah, I started doing this. The first one was in for 2013, so this is the fourth year I've done this, and I always point out it's not. It's not very scientific. It's basically just looks at what were the issues that made the covers of Inform Scotland. So the Inform Scotland, there are 10 monthly issues a year. So two double issues, one for December, one covers December, January, and one that covers the summer months. But there are 10 a year. So each cover has maybe 6 or 7 hot topics, and some of them recur, keep coming up, and so it's just a look at what came up most during the year. So not rocket science, but it does tend to throw up and capture what are the main issues? What were the main talking points? And so this year, digital skills is back at the top. It's been top, I think, three times in the last, since I started doing this. It's never been out of the top three. Others that have kept recurring and have been in the list ever since it started, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and maths, although this is the highest position it's been in, coming out second on its own this year. Apprenticeships has never missed a list. Widening access and skills gaps and shortages have been in every list each year. Teacher education, first time on the list this year, first time ever. Others, first time on the list, financial education, assessment. That's some of them you might be surprised to why they've not appeared before, and that's something I was going to mention a little bit about, is what I think drives topics onto the covers. Biggest surprise, I think, this one this year has been the biggest faller, that is, developing the young workforce was right at the top of the list for 2015 and is not on the list, didn't quite make the list, although it's bubbled away throughout the year with it still being a big talking point and still a lot going on. For example, the number of regional employer-led groups grew to 15, I think it is, during the year. And the Scottish Funding Council published the first ever work placement guide for colleges this year. So it's been there, but just about, but didn't make the list, which some people might find surprising.
And after the show goes up as a podcast, Angela, you know, we'll put the link to your blog post just under the audio player at edutalk.cc. But yeah, you touched on it there a moment ago. So what actually drives the topics onto the list, onto the charts? I mean, I would guess it's to do with, you know, recent research that's published, or a particular policy driver. Or maybe what's even coming up from the grassroots in terms of educators, whether that be community education or teachers?
Yeah, I think it's all of those things, actually. So if something has a major funding injection, so, for example, apprenticeships, big push there, political will and focus, again, something like apprenticeships, there's been a lot of push in that area. Shortages of skills can push something up. So financial education and digital, obviously, they're something that raises the issue, keeps pushing digital up there, because the skills issue hasn't gone away, skills problem. Then, as you say, general research evidence that's come out that's pushed something. So something like gender, general grassroots push as well in something like gender, people beginning to think, actually, we need to do something about this. But I was thinking as well, for Inform Scotland, because something looks right across the landscape, something that makes itself onto the cover tends to be, or repeatedly onto the cover, tends to be something which isn't just an issue for one sector. So digital skills is important for all of us. Gender is something which permeates throughout. It's something that's an issue for business, something that's an issue for universities. So it's something that weaves its way through the sectors is more likely to make itself onto the cover. So that could explain why teacher education, it's the first time that that's made it onto the list. But that's my feeling.
Can you give us a flavour of some of the stories behind last year's list? I mean, you mentioned about developing the young workforce, but I think also Curriculum for Excellence made an appearance at some point.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of surprises on the covers this year before kind of going into what's behind the ones on the actual list. So Curriculum for Excellence made it for the first time onto a cover since May 2012. I had a good fun looking back trying to find it, but yeah, that was the last time it made it onto a cover. And obviously this year it was because of the new streamlined guidance. It's one of the favourite words of the year, streamlined. I picked out some others just while I'm in that mode. So future-proofing, cyber security, workload and literacy being used from anything from financial literacy to ocean literacy. That's just a bit of an aside there, but curriculum for excellence has been off the scene for a while. In fact, I actually thought people were beginning to say we don't need to call it that anymore, but it's made itself back into common terminology. The other surprise on the covers, or the first time ever, was libraries, and that was a real feel that, you know, that was libraries really striving to adapt and develop to try and address the issue of them being sort of left behind. So focusing on issues to do with digital, trying to get involved in the digital agenda. But there are also things like the National Library of Scotland opened its first premises outside the capital, so it's now got the place at in Glasgow. And local councils like North Ayrshire opening its third employability hub in a library. So these kind of things are nice to see.
What else in terms of the national priorities and kind of key policies in learning and skills? You know, what other things never made it onto the chart this year, but are very much, I think, in your words earlier on, are still bubbling away rather successfully?
Probably the biggest one I would say is probably innovation. That's one of the things I'd predicted was going to be on the list this year, because it was the year of architecture, innovation, and design. And I guess you could say that some aspects of architecture and design are relevant within STEM and within digital, and permeate through some of the other issues as well. But I thought innovation would have been right up there, and it wasn't. So that's maybe a lesson for this year, with this year being the 2017 being the year of history, heritage, and archaeology. Perhaps a lesson there for the powers that be, or the people to get behind those topics and really latch on to the fact that there's funding available, there's political will, there's a lot of activity, and I'm sure that learning and skills could capitalise, or organisations involved could capitalise on that that push from, I think it's mostly Visit Scotland that has the push there.
And just before we go into the second half of tonight's show, Angela, and obviously very much look forward to 2017, like all good reviews, we said some hellos and goodbyes last year, so do you want to take us through some of them?
Yeah, I mean, just before I make sure I've not missed anything out, so the stuff on the list, I mean, obviously the education was a top priority for the Scottish Government this year. Well, they made it plain that that was meant to be the top priority. So we've had national digital learning and teaching strategy. We've had an action plan to tackle digital sector skills gap from the Digital Technology Skills Group. An action plan on gender from Scottish Funding Council. A new strategy for education and training out for consultation on STEM. Making maths count report. We've got a review of enterprise and skills that's about to move into forwards, just moved into phase two. And then in teacher education and development, there's Scottish College for Educational Leadership's new training for excellence for head teachers was started this year, last year, and the Scottish Government's announcement of funding to develop teacher education options to recruit more teachers into the sector, as well as the Widening Access Commission, which reported at the beginning of the year, and a commissioner was appointed at the end of the year. Some of those I'll move on to, but yeah, the hellos and goodbyes. So I was very sorry to see UK Commission for Employment and Skills end this year. That was the government, UK government funding was pulled for that, and some of its work has been spread out and shared amongst other organisations. So I know Skills Development Scotland has picked up some aspects, but that was a shame. I think they could have had quite a pivotal role in the new industrial strategy that was announced yesterday by the UK government, which will focus on skills and it will look right across the UK. So a body like UK CES could have had a really good role to play there. Things we've said hello to, so new things. Stirling University's set up a network for curriculum studies. There's a new Gaelic education, East school. I won't try and pronounce it properly in the Western Isles, but which will be which will have a reach far wider than where it's based. Education Scotland's new National Improvement Hub was launched last year. We've got an International Council of Education Advisors set up by the Scottish Government, and new campuses. So, for example, Ayrshire College in Kilmarnock, a STEM centre in North East Scotland College in Fraserburgh, and then a few new academies and training centres, Marine Training Centre in Clydebank, Kilt Makers Academy in Edinburgh, Rookie Oven Startup Academy for 16 to 19-year-olds, a Construction and Technology Centre for school pupils in Musselburgh, set up by East Lothian Council with the local college, and Sales and Marketing Academy in Glasgow. So plenty to welcome, plenty to spread the word about. I think it's difficult to keep up with all of these things.
So moving on to, and you're saying about really what is starting to come up in 2017, maybe based on some initiatives from last year, Angela, but in terms of this year in particular, what are you most interested in, and indeed what are your predictions, or even could you hazard a guess at what the chart might look like this time next year?
Predictions are so difficult in the current climate. Don't think anyone's wanting to predict much at all, but there are certain things that we do know that are coming up because we've been told they're going to happen, either events or strategies or consultations that are coming. We've got the new education bill in this that will be consulted on early in the year. We've got the Scottish Government's governance of schools, the implementation of that, which they're hoping or they're planning on implementing as early as possible, in their words. We've also got the review of parental involvement, which is a national parent forum led, and that's going to be published, I think, quite soon. Obviously, the delivery plan as well, which was launched last year, pushing ahead with that. So we know that assessment will probably be up there somewhere because the national standardised assessments will be rolled out from August 2017. That will be assessing reading, writing and numeracy in P1, 4, 7 and S3. We've also got the review of skills agencies, which I mentioned earlier. So that's the likes of Scottish Funding Council, Skills Development Scotland, the two enterprise bodies, Scottish Enterprise and Highlands and Islands Enterprise, waiting to hear what the outcomes of that or the implementation of an implementation of phase two of the Enterprise and Skills Review. So there's lots of things that we know are happening, plus continuation of issues that were highlighted in 2016. So things like digital, I wouldn't expect it to have gone out of the top three, probably. A few things to mention that are for people's diaries that are coming up as well while I run through this. There's the National Digital Learning Week, which is taking place in May. That's between the 15th and 19th, I think, of May. Same week happens to be as the Learning at Work Week and Learning Disability Week, which are both taking place at the same time. Where am I? Widening access. Yes, I expect that to be still very high on the agenda. The new commissioner was appointed at the end of the year, Professor Sir Peter Scott. And I know that University of Scotland has set up three work streams looking at fair access. So it's one on admissions, which is being chaired by the principal of St Andrews University. One looking at articulation, that's the flow from college to university. And that's being led by Susan Stewart, who's the director of the Open University in Scotland. And the third one is looking at bridging programmes, and that's being led by the principal of Queen Margaret University in Edinburgh. There's also, tied in with widening access, Scottish Credit and Qualifications Framework is celebrating its 15th anniversary this academic session. And I know that they've also just launched a redeveloped toolkit, My Skills, My Future, which helps people, young people in particular, but not necessarily just young people, to identify the skills that are not necessarily the qualifications that are the standard recognised ones, but to fit what they've achieved onto the framework. There's also again widening access. Thinking widening access. Children's University Scotland has two new centres coming on stream this year in Perth and Kinross, and I think Argyll and Bute is their other one. So lots happening in the widening access area, and I think that again will get right up to the top. The apprenticeships, I didn't say anything much about or at all about that in the list, other than it's not gone away from the top from the list since I started producing it. But the big thing there is the UK levy, which from April, all UK employers with an annual salary bill of over £3 million will be paying money into as a levy, and Scotland will get a block grant, which it's just completed the review of what people think the money should be spent on. And lo and behold, we want it to be spent on skills, support for skills, training and jobs. So they're going to focus that on expanding modern apprenticeships, with the target still of 30,000 new starts annually by 2020. So new apprentices, 30,000 new apprentices each year by 2020, and they're a good way along that target. Also in the autumn, there'll be the Scottish Government setting up a new workforce development fund to help employers upskill. So opportunities there for employers to try and to get access to some funding to support what they're doing in training and retraining their staff. Other things I'm likely to, I'm expecting to see, science, technology, engineering and maths. We've got the strategy consultation, which closes at the end of January. That's for education training, so expect to see more there. Similarly, gender balance and gaps, I still expect that to be up there. And an interesting warning, I've thought this is worth quoting this, Mary Kernock Cook, who's the UCAS chief executive, actually she'll be one of the goodbyes this year, and she's leaving UCAS in April, which she's done great things there. But gender balance tends to think about the difference, or the gap being women. I mentioned that myself in terms of science and technology. But also there's an issue there that UCAS has flagged up, and others as well, the gap between the growing gap between young men going to university compared to women, and the gap is widening. More young women are going than men. And so she's her quote, I'll say, is, on current trends, the gap between rich and poor will be eclipsed by the gap between males and females within a decade. So that's just something to look out for, and maybe we'll see something being done about that.
Angela, we're coming towards the end of the show, and it's been fascinating so far, and I'll extend the invitation to listeners once again to come in with a question or a comment for you via email or Twitter. You're so well connected, Angela, and you're so up to speed on everything from what's going on in the ground, you know, the latest research, where funding's available, or how funding is being used presently. Just wondering if we go off on a side for a moment, you know, there must be things out there that you're coming across within learning and skills sectors that you feel should be shared more widely, things that maybe need to be promoted more. And I know you mentioned something about a school record label to me recently.
Oh yeah, that was an interesting one. I mean, I have a few favourites that I spot from now and, you know, every now and again, that perhaps don't get the publicity that they deserve. So that one was an interesting one. There's Pennycook High School, which has a let me just see if I can, so that I don't get misquote this and get the name wrong. But Burnt Out Records, which is a student-run record label and live gig venue, and it's celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. I think that's brilliant. So I know I like try and highlight some of these things through Twitter, and if I get a chance, we'll pick them out in monthly issues or in blog posts or whatever. Some of the other things that happened over the year that I picked out as personal favourites were something called Cell Block Science, which is a project that University of St Andrews, was running with New College Lanarkshire in three of Her Majesty's prisons. And then the Social Bite Academy, which was set up this year, offering employability skills for homeless people. And I have to throw this one in because I did highlight this one. I thought this was the oddest name for a new course this year from the Scottish, I get the name wrong, SAMS UHI. I think it's Scottish Academy for Marine Science. They'll tell me it's probably something else that the acronym means. But anyway, their course was My Seaweed Looks Weird, which I thought has to be the oddest. Get my vote for the oddest title. But yeah, please keep telling me about these unique or items worth celebrating. We've got plenty to celebrate in learning and skills in Scotland.
So, Angela, you produce Inform Scotland this regular digest, and obviously there's the Inform Scotland website, as well as your very active Twitter account. So can you just finish up by letting listeners know how they can get involved, how they can access all the great information or possibly contribute content to it, and crucially how they can subscribe to the digest itself?
Yes, one thing I meant to say actually was we will be saying goodbye to one thing that I know a number of pupils and teachers will be happy to see the back of this year, a bit too late for some, including my own daughter. That's unit assessments in from Nat 5 this year will go in August 2017. I said for personal reasons I would mention that one, and then the higher and advanced higher will follow in the years after that. But yeah, so Inform Scotland, you say it's on Twitter at Inform Scot, and also an Instagram account with the same name, which started at the end of last year. If you have pictures to share, let me know and I'll try and share them on there. There's also the Learning and Skills events calendar that the events or a number of the events, if they're not already on there, will be on there, including some of the themed weeks that I mentioned. So there's apprenticeships weeks on there as well. As there's also quick plug for a couple of events coming up that I haven't mentioned. Scottish College for Education Leadership's major conference in Perth on the 3rd of May, which is on leading collaborative learning, and Inform Scotland is producing an Inform Scotland leadership special to coincide with that. And I know that they're looking for people to lead informal discovery sessions. So I said I would mention that to them, but I'm looking forward to producing that special, and that should be out in time for the conference in May. There's also on the 24th of March a financial education conference happening that Education Scotland's organising, and that's going to be taking place in Edinburgh, and that will come at the end of Financial Education Week that Money Advice Scotland is sorting out. So that's those kind of things that will find their way onto the calendar, and that's freely available for anybody to see. If you've got events coming up, likewise, there's no charge for having the events included. And if you just let us know, tweet or email details, and we'll post those on, and happy to share them, and look out for our Follow Friday tweets where we share the information about the events that are coming up next week. Then there are special issues, as I mentioned one. There's an annual special that I produce just for subscribers, which is called the Organisations and People Special, and that's a kind of who's where in learning and skills. And I've been producing that since 2012, I think the first one came out. Then the digest themselves, the next issue is the December-January issue, and that's out. It'll be out towards the beginning of February. The way to get those is through subscription. If somebody wanted to have a look at one, see whether they fancied subscribing, then they get in touch. I can send them a complimentary copy. There's also guest blogs on the website featuring subscribers writing about what matters to them under the banner, making connections across the learning and skills landscape. So we had a blog this year from General Teaching Council. Ken Muir wrote a blog, for example. Should have said, actually, that they've got some interesting things happening this year. Professional Learning Awards to be launched, supporting teacher professionalism and learning, for example, and the second phase of the pilot of My Professional Learning, which is going to be launched in October. And I think that's probably it. So it's...
Angela, listen, I'm so grateful that you've given up time this evening to come on. It's incredible just what's on the go at the moment as I've read across Scotland, and you know, as I've been an avid reader of the Digest for several years now, and but not only that, not only do I find it an essential read, to be quite honest, but also I'd like to thank you for the great support that you have provided and continue to provide to Radio EduTalk, because if you don't already know, Angela very often suggests guests for the show in various areas and learning skills sectors that I'm not particularly knowledgeable in. So thanks for that, and again, just to let listeners know that Angela and I are discussing about how we might work closely together in the coming months, and certainly it's been great having you on the show, and I really hope we can work together on future shows and have you back on to the live broadcasts.
Thanks very much, and I hope I've not rattled through or tried to cover too many things, and just it's been a bit of a blur. I think my problem is there's so much in my head about all this stuff, and the enthusiasm to share it is massive. So
it's been great having you on the show, and I'm sure listeners will be very appreciative as well. What I will say, obviously, you have covered a lot of things. But whether you're listening to the live show or the podcast, if you visit edutalk.cc sometime soon, not only will you be able to see the audio again from this evening, but also underneath, Angela and I will work together over the next day or so just to put up what are probably the most important links from this evening's programme. So thanks again, Angela. Thanks, listeners, for tuning in. The shows on a Tuesday evening are likely to be fortnightly during 2017, and John's busy working on setting up his Wednesday shows for the immediate future, so keep an eye on edutalk.cc. There's already around a dozen or so shows booked in from now up until just after Easter. I think it's going to be another good year for Radio EduTalk, but it's only possible through you tuning in, and also to the community out there suggesting guests and indeed coming on to share what they're up to in the world of education. So thanks again, Angela, and I'll speak to you soon.